Would you turn with me to Isaiah? If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah chapter 9. We didn't begin our service with the lighting of a candle, but they were lit this morning when you came in. You may have noticed that all of the candles were lit, including the Christ candle in the middle, which we lit on Tuesday night on Christmas Eve. You may recall that each of the candles represents something of the nature of Christ and something of that He is bringing to us and for us. Today, because I was out of town on the very first time that we started the Advent with the peace candle, I'm going to share with you from God's Word in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, about the peace candle. You realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the only one that can bring peace? Anybody here want peace? You ever watched one of those beauty pageants? You remember? You know, and if you watched any of the movies, they kind of make fun of this, but it really is something. And all of the ladies, when they have their little thing, and they say, well, what would you like to see brought about? And they all say, I would really like to see world peace. It's a bit cliche, but you know what? Wouldn't it be nice to have world peace? As we seek things today, that is certainly one that we would love to see. The candle of peace that has been lit already for us today is a reminder of the peace that only Christ Jesus can bring. Peace to both the world and to people's hearts. Because without Christ Jesus, there is no peace. You may remember back in the day, now some of you aren't old enough to remember this, but there was a radio host by the name of Paul Harvey. Anybody remember Paul Harvey? Good Day, yeah. And the rest of the story. Well, just before Christmas, Paul Harvey told the story about a father. He told the story that his son had been recruited by the Union Army, and his son was going to war with the Union Army. And as he left home, he was already ill, but he had been instructed to report. And as he arrived at the camp where he was going to be inducted into the army, he got what they called camp fever and was very, very ill. And for months and months, he was extremely ill, and they were afraid that he might not even live through that. And then finally, as he was getting well, he went into his first battle, and he received an extremely serious wound, and yet again, he was thought that he might not live. So they sent a memo home to the father, and the news of his son's wound came to the father literally on Christmas Eve. Being a poet, he sat down and he expressed his anguish in a song. And you remember his name because he was a famous poet. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote these words as he contemplated a very bleak Christmas morning. He wrote these words, and it has been put to song. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. There was then, and there still is, a lot of conjecture about peace in the world. But dear friends, that's what we came to talk about today. We're going to talk about peace and how God brings that. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, one very brief, short verse? And that is this, that one of the names of the Lord our God, just one, is Prince of Peace. You know this verse, it's very familiar. The prophet said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And the last name recorded here is what? Prince of Peace. Prince of what? Oh, I too would love to see world peace. Father, we ask in prayer that your Holy Spirit would help our hearts to understand not just world peace, but God's peace, your peace, Father. Lord, would you help us not only to understand it, but Lord, to attain it. And we know that it's going to come through your Son. So Lord, we ask and pray, would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you strengthen us in him that we might truly be able to see and to follow and obey your Son, Christ Jesus, who is our Prince of Peace. Help us to understand and know it, to be able to claim it in every way. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? One of the names of Christ Jesus is Prince of Peace. Now, I'm going to tell you, this name can really be difficult for understand because we have a lot of mixed feelings about what peace is. If you ask any family or any individual, you might get a little bit of different definition about peace. On one hand, you know that Jesus is called the, what? Prince of Peace. And his angels, when he came and they pronounced even to the shepherds, they proclaimed peace on earth. Goodwill to men. That's us. We'd love to have peace. And yet, on the other hand, don't forget what Jesus said about peace. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this. He says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace on earth. What? The Lord Jesus said this. He says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Now, why did this come from Christ Jesus? Because he knew that this wasn't just a war of the worlds. This was a war against sin. Amen. And Jesus Christ was coming to bring a war against sin. He was going to defeat sin. And he knew that sin was going to fight back. And sin was going to fight back against righteousness. So folks, we have this understanding that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And yet he said he came to bring enmity between people because of sin. We also have our own observations, do we not? That there is no peace on earth. Man's inhumanity, man's warring against one another has certainly been a topic on the news and on our phones constantly. The war in Israel, the war in Ukraine, the war in Afghanistan, all things going on in the Middle East. Folks, how can there be peace? How do we reconcile that Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace, and yet there doesn't seem to be any peace in this world? We need to begin with an understanding of our definition of peace. Do you know what peace means? Peace today seems to be what? If we say there's no war, there's peace, right? Can we say that? If just because there's no war? Peace today seems to be defined as an absence of conflict. It's almost as if we say, okay, you can actually say that we have peace if there's not a war going on. If there's no war, there's peace. However, that's not how this word was used in the Old Testament. Do you remember what this word was? In the Old Testament, the word for peace was what? Shalom. Shalom. But it's so much more than just an absence of war. The Hebrew word is shalom. And so literally what we can say is Jesus is the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. So now let's understand what shalom means. And maybe this will help you understand how Christ Jesus wants to bring peace. First of all, shalom is used for a greeting in the Hebrew and still in Israel. If you were in Israel and someone were to see you coming up the road, they would look at you and they would say peace in our language. But in their language, it is, again, And they say, as a greeting and as a parting, they say, Shalom. It's kind of like the Hawaiians, right? They have the same word for coming and going, but it means so much more. It means hello and goodbye, but it also means the absence of conflict as well. No war. In other words, it means, I hope and pray that you don't have any war. Yes, but is that the only way the greeting is there? If somebody were to greet you and say, hope you have no war, does that make a lot of sense to you? Well, to a degree, no war. But is that all that it means? Absolutely not. And that, yet that is what peace means to many today. That word, when a Hebrew said shalom, it not only meant hello or farewell. Not only did it mean that I pray for you that there is no war, but it also was a desire that there would be health and wholeness in you and in your family. It was a desire for them to say in one word, pray that there is no conflict. I pray that there is harmony in your world. I pray that there is wholeness. I pray that you have peace. And yet it doesn't even stop there. It denotes a fullness and it denotes a completeness and a harmony of both mind and body. It means to flourish in a state of well-being. Now, all of that is wrapped up in one word. Shalom. Peace. To have shalom literally was to be fulfilled in every way. And the only way that we can be fulfilled in every way is through Christ. Because we have learned, have we not, that just because you have, just because you can enjoy the materialistic things of this world and you're not wanting for material things, that doesn't mean you have peace. Just because you don't have a war going on doesn't mean that you have peace. Folks, the only way to have full peace and God's peace is through His Son, Jesus Christ. So to say shalom, dear friends, means a whole lot more than just say peace to you. It meant all of these things. It was desiring God's true peace and God's blessing on one another. Maybe today when I leave, I need to change the parting that I give you. And instead of saying peace, we need to say shalom so that we truly mean what it brings. So how is Jesus Christ then the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom? So using the biblical understanding and definition of shalom, there are three ways that Jesus Christ fulfills the title of Prince of Shalom. First and foremost, only Jesus Christ makes peace between God and man. Amen? You can say peace, but that doesn't mean there's going to be peace. Sometimes there's a ceasefire among families, and you can say, oh, there's peace in my household tonight. No, there may not be peace, but maybe there's a peace, there is a ceasefire. Have you ever had one of those arguments, gentlemen, ladies? And you call a ceasefire, and just because there's no words flying anymore, does that mean there's peace? No. So it's not just the absence of a conflict, but it literally means the state of your heart and soul. God and man have been separated by sin. And the only one that can bring God and man back together is Jesus Christ, His Son. No peace without Him. No salvation without Him. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 13 and following say this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. What word do you think that is? Shalom. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, all of that scripture is saying this, that without Christ, we don't have access to God the Father. Without Christ, no salvation. Without Christ, no reconciliation to God. He is the one who makes peace for us between us and God, from whom we have been estranged because of our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Secondly, He makes peace possible because of His saving work. He's the one who made it possible. He makes shalom, not just absence of war. He makes shalom possible because of what He did. John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "I am not alone because the Father's with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Shalom. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It is the work of Jesus Christ that brings us to peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He's saying, look, I didn't come to bring you the world's peace. I didn't come to bring you the absence of a little conflict. I didn't come to bring you a tiny ceasefire amid the trouble. He said, I came to bring you shalom, the full peace, the peace of the fullness, the comfort, the deep understanding that you are loved and cared for, and not just here on earth, but in heaven as well. He makes life possible. He makes peace possible because of what He's done. In Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace," amen, shalom, "and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, God wants peace for us, but He knew the only way that we were going to get it is going to be through His Son. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." Do you want peace? Do you just want the absence of conflict? Or do you want God's peace? We have peace in even this life because of the work of Jesus Christ. You will not find it without Him. And lastly, there is one more way that we see that Christ fulfills the title, and that is that He will complete perfect peace when He comes again. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of folks who say, "I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to see God in glory." Now, listen, the older we get, the easier it is to say that, amen? But you don't have to wait to receive His peace. But you do have to wait to receive His full peace, the fullness of His peace, the perfection of His peace. To see it in this world, listen, we already know that the Scripture says that we're not going to have the peace in this world because they are at enmity with God. But when He comes again, the Scripture says there's not just going to be peace in our hearts, not just for Christians, but there is going to be peace everywhere. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and 7 says this, that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Now, what does that mean? There's not going to be conflict anymore. Even the animals on the earth will get along like family. Oh, maybe I should say better than family. God's family. They're going to get along together because God is going to be their peace. Isn't it true that in this world, things don't always look hopeful and peaceful? Man, we watch the news. Sometimes we just have to watch in our very own living rooms. But friends, when things like that are going on, can I give you a reminder? Remember this. Please don't ever forget this. God is still in charge. And if you'll turn it over to Him, if you will allow Him to work in your life, if you'll let Him be in charge in your life, His will be accomplished in your life. Listen, God's will is going to be accomplished whether you are a part of it or not. Wouldn't you like to be a part of what God is doing? Wouldn't you like to know that God is going to use you to bring about His peace? And when things don't look peaceful here, when things are not very peaceful, remember to keep your eyes on God. And that's a hard one. Because when there are things going on, when the conflict is going on, whether it's in the country or out of the country and around the world, or whether it's in our state or in our very town, or whether it's in our very home, it's hard to keep our eyes on Christ when the conflict is looming large. But remember, if you want to have the peace of God, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and not the storm. Amen? We are to rise above the storm. And we use the Holy Spirit of God to give us the wind, if you will, beneath the wings to raise us up. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow didn't stop his poem with the few words that I read to you earlier. The next verse went like this. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Every Sunday, I share with you a parting blessing. Do you know where it came from? It's called the Aaronic blessing. But listen to this. It comes from Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 27. It says this, that God gave instruction to the priests, Aaron and his sons. They were the priests. And it says this, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them this, and it's in quotes from God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you shalom, give you peace. And it finishes there with that. It says, so they will put My name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Would you like to find some of this shalom we're talking about? Anybody need some of it? Anybody need a lot of it? The way you're going to find it is going to be through Christ. He said, put My name on them. Put My name on them, and they will find the blessing. I'm going to ask you this morning, can I put the name of God on you? Can I put Christ's name on you? It would be my desire if I could go around and literally just kind of open the door to your heart and put it in there. But I can't do that. You know I can't. All I can do is present what God's Word said. He said, put My name on them, and I will bless them. So I'm going to do just that. I'm going to put My name on you, put His name on you, and I'm going to ask God to bless you. Would you bow your head with me? Would you pray? Would you receive this prayer? Heavenly Father, there's a lot of warring going on. in the nations, in the politics, in the counties, in the homes, in the living rooms and the bedrooms of life, Father, there is conflict. But you said, Father, that if we will put your name on it, in other words, Lord, if we will surrender under your name, that you will bring peace. So, dear friends, I'm asking you, would you receive this prayer right now? Husbands and wives, individuals, children, men, women, Heavenly Father, I pray on this church body, your name, Jehovah, Jehovah, Yeshua, our salvation. God, I pray that you would be received in each and every heart this morning. Amen. Would you receive his blessing? Would you receive his forgiveness? Will you receive his peace, his shalom? I pray it to you. Will you receive it? God, we are so thankful that your Holy Spirit works on our hearts. And I pray that for everyone, Lord, that is desiring for their life to be opened to you, Father, that they would receive you. Behold, your word says, you stand at the door and knock. And if anyone would open that door, you will come in and you will sup with him and fellowship with him. Lord, I pray right now that you are knocking on doors of hearts. And dear friend, it has been prayed to you. It has been prayed for you. And now it's your turn. Will you open the door? Will you receive the Prince of Peace? Will you receive his shalom? Father, that is our prayer. Would you help these here this day to receive your peace?